Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas.
Rosie, please come and sing for us.
Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be back. And good to have my son and his wife, Janelle. And, you know, they're closer now, but it's always good to see them come home. And aren't you glad for fathers? We wouldn't be here without fathers. And aren't you glad for our Heavenly Father and His hands that hold us? This is called Daddy's Hands. And just think of your Heavenly Father if you can't think of the one that brought you, you know, made it possible for you to be in this world, but He made it possible for all things. And in His hands, all things are possible. Aren't you glad He loves us? Daddy's Hands.
I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer, reaching out to hold me when I'd had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in those calluses in line. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how he held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. There are things that I've forgotten that I loved about that man, but I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands, soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over and live my life again, I'd never take for granted the love in Daddy's hand. Daddy's hand, soft and kind when I was crying. Always love in Daddy's hands. in Daddy's hands.
Thank you, Jesus. Happy Father's Day.
Brother John Flanagan's going to come and sing us a song.
God came to this earth in the person of His Son, reconciling me. Now we two are one, completely justified, never more condemned. Himself He can't deny, and I am one with Him. I and my Father are one, spake Jesus one day. That's where I'm now positioned. In Christ I'm the very same way. God lives here in me. We both live in the Son. He walks not at my side, for He and I are one.
I struggled with my title, and I often put typos in on purpose just to keep myself alert. But when the winds blow, or when the wind blows... When the winds blow, or when the wind blows. And I finally think it's really the former, when the winds blow, because we're going to see tonight there are many winds that are blowing. When Jesus was on earth, He used current events in His teaching and preaching. It was not a thing unusual. In Luke 13:1, He said this: there were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. That was a historical event actually happened. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all them that dwell in Jerusalem? Now that was a real event. They knew the story. It had just happened. Jesus made a reference to that event. He said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, we really had some wind here. I don't know how many of you know that. I want to talk to you a little bit about high winds. And I'm going to use a metaphor, and I'm not going to so much preach, but teach a little bit. And I want you to really keep your thinking cap on. In Acts 27, the Bible tells an interesting story about high winds. It says, this is toward the end of Acts, the 28th chapter is the last chapter, and sailing was dangerous. Paul is headed to Rome, where he'll testify, and much time was now spent, sailing was dangerous. Paul admonished them and said in verse 10, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. He said there's going to be hurt, pain, and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but your lives are in danger. That's what he's telling them. What's going to be the danger? Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken by Paul. Paul's just a preacher. What does he know? And he's telling them, we don't need to go. If we do, we're headed into danger. We're headed into high winds. They said, oh, we know more about this than you do. We can go that way. It'll be all right. And they went on. Look in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they sailed on, you see. In other words, they supposed that the winds were blowing softly, why it seemed. They were like, everything's fine. But notice verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Notice, when the ship was caught, could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Notice verse 16 says they had much work to do. Look in verse 17, they used helps. By the way, use everything you can find. They undergirded the ship And they were afraid, the Bible says, and they were driven. Verse 18 says, they were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Boy, the wind began to build. They finally lightened the ship to get rid of this stuff. The third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. That ship's getting lower and lower in the water, and they're getting rid of every bit of weight they can, and water's coming over into the boat. You know, it's okay for the boat to be in the water, not okay for the water to be in the boat. Like the church is in the world, but not okay if the world gets in the church. And then he goes on to say, verse 20, neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and all hope that we would be saved was taken away. It looks hopeless. Verse 21, after long absence, Paul stood forth and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Now, the preacher can't help it. He's saying, I told you so. You just shouldn't have done this. But then he tries to encourage them in verse 22. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. He said that it's going to work out okay. We're in a mess. We've gotten ourselves into a mess. But there's hope. He said in verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Now, some people can say the former. They can't say the latter. They would say, I belong to the Lord, but they can't honestly say whom I serve. Paul said, whose I am and whom I serve. Put them in tandem. Look in verse 23, there stood by me this night. Verse 24, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. God said, I'm going to keep you alive, because I want you to get to Rome. Until you accomplish my purposes, you're immortal. Later, they're going to chop your head off, and I'm not going to save you that day. But I'm going to save you today, because I've got something else for you to do. Verse 25, be of good cheer. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. Believing God will cheer you up. And Paul says, be of good cheer. He said, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Look in verse 29. I'm hurrying. It says, fearing, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and they wished for the day. Have you ever been in a circumstance that was so dark and the wind was blowing and so scary that you just anchored? The best you could do was anchor, and then you wished for the day. You said, Lord, let the day come, please. And notice, verse 30, the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Now, God has said he's going to save them. But it's interesting, in verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, God has already said, I'm going to save them. The divine providence is going to save them. But yet, practically, you got to keep these sailors on board this ship, or we'll all die. There's no competition between providence and practicality. In other words, God is both providential, but he's also practical. And as a practical matter, you've got to keep these men in the ship. And so they did. They cut off the boats that they were trying to escape with in verse 32. When verse 33, when day was coming on, Paul encouraged them to eat. In verse 34, he said, take some meat, he said, for your health. When you're in a crisis, you forget to eat. Paul said, you've got to eat. And by the way, he set an example in verse 35. He took bread. He gave thanks to God. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And so if you want to encourage others to engage in certain behaviors, you engage in it. Paul said, cheer up, guys. We're in a mess, but we're going to be all right. He said, I'm going to eat something. Y'all have something, too. And all of a sudden, he cheered everybody up. We need Pauls on board the gospel ship. And in a time of crisis. Verse 40, they committed themselves to the sea. Notice they made toward shore. Verse 41, the ship ran aground. And by the way, the hinder part is broken with the violence of the waves. Verse 42, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest they escape. But verse 43, the centurion, willing to save Paul alive, commanded that they which could should swim to the shore. And he says in verse 44, the rest on board, some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass they all escaped to land. Now they got out of this storm. I want you to see the wind was blowing. Here's how it started. Stay with me. The south winds blew softly. It looked like everything was fine. But all of a sudden, Euroclydon came down. By the way, Euroclydon, the Euros is the east wind. The Clydon means to billow or dash over, and it means raging waves. It means you're engaged with something that's going to swamp you. You're engaged with something that's going to capsize your boat. You're engaged with something that's going to sink your ship. You see, the warning is sometimes when everything is going well, look out. A storm may be coming, and it could be a storm that would be a Euroclydon that will literally capsize the boat that will overwhelm the ship. Do you understand I'm not talking literal storms? Do you understand Pastor is speaking in terms of extended metaphor? Let me give you another verse. Ephesians 4:14, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, I'm talking about winds blowing. I'm talking about damage that can be done by blowing winds. Brother David, Brother Lindell, would you get in position, ready with a mic? Brother Jonathan, can you grab a mic for me, please, sir, if you would? You know, if you know a storm is coming, and I want audience participation, if you know it's coming, before the storm arrives, I want to ask you, do you have any advice? Is there anything we could do if we anticipate a storm is coming? What might you do? Start us off, Brother Brandon.
Heed the warning.
Okay, say that again, Brandon.
Heed the warning.
Heed the warning. So what you're saying is that if a storm is coming, I need to be listening to the warnings. The warnings are going out. Let me give you an example. I personally have on my cell phone, and you can all do it too if you haven't already done it, the Weather Channel sends out a text whenever there's any kind of a warning. And I cannot tell you how many times that I've been maybe in Dallas or Denton or McKinney or somewhere, and all of a sudden I'd get a warning that a storm was coming that I didn't even know was coming. And my family and I will tell you that Pop bows us to death because I always forward those texts to my kids and all. Not to Jean. It'd be a waste of time. By the way, there's no reason to ever text Jean. She does not read texts. After a while, she comes and says, I got a bunch of texts. Would you read them? Open them up. If you want to talk to Jean, you better call her because she's not going to read a text. But so I don't text her. Every once in a while, I text her, I love her, and then later I read it to her. Isn't that sweet? But my point is this. Brandon said, heed the warnings. Let me tell you, folks, there are voices that are warning us right now. Brandon, you're right on. Who was next? Brother Regan.
Brother Joe, we've got to strengthen the structure. When they go down in Florida and there's a hurricane coming, the first thing that sells out is plywood. Because they put plywood over the windows and they put bracings in the walls and they do everything they can to strengthen where they live so that the storm doesn't blow it over.
Wonderful. Regan, how would we apply that like in a home, when a home is under attack or when a church is under attack or a nation is under attack?
We start off in the home, because if we can strengthen the home, we strengthen the inner wall, the main support column, then all the things that lean on the home won't fall over because the main pillar is strong. So we come in and we start off in the home praying. We start off in the home devotional, daily Bible reading. We start off doing the things that strengthen the home that we should be doing every day, but that in time of crisis become absolute necessity.
And let's extend the metaphor a little bit. Now, if I've learned, I've done what Brandon said, I've heeded the warning. Now, you're saying I need to strengthen the structure. That is a, how shall we say that? It is task intensive and it is sequential. By that I mean to put up a piece of plywood, I have to nail a nail. And then I have to nail a second nail. And then I have to nail a third nail. It's not just like I go up there and it's all up there. It takes time to strengthen a structure. Am I right about that, Regan?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Brother David, did you have a thought
yes,
on that?
Yes, I was just thinking, you know, the Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's vices. We do, like Brandon said, to heed the warning. Well, if you hear something or see something that you're not, don't know that that's a threat on your life, spiritually speaking, be there, be standing there and get hit right in the face because you didn't realize that was something to be afraid of.
Our younger ones need to recognize that some of our older ones know what the storm is. But David, move to Suzanne, if you will. Those are excellent points, brother, to know what to watch for. And I think, was Carl here next, I believe? Okay.
Well, I was just going to say you need to prioritize your priorities.
Okay. You need to figure out what is important when the storm comes.
If it's a hailstorm, it's one thing. If it's rain, it's something else. If it's a tornado, you need to recognize what's coming.
Brother Galen back here, yes.
I was going to say, be ready before the storm ever gets there.
Anita here, I think. And Brother Jonathan moved to Suzanne, or did... Okay, was that... Okay, share with us, Anita, I'm sorry.
I think if thinking of all these things that people have mentioned, it's like, how do we get it? How do we do that? And I think the owner's manual is our Bible. And if you, you can weather any storm if you know your Bible and you're constantly reading your Bible.
All right. Very good. Very good, Suzanne.
And for the people who have gone through the storm and they're broken, we need to stand by them.
Benita back here, and then we'll see if there's any others, and we'll move to another point. Sister Benita.
We need to seek shelter, and that means you're probably out in the open, away from shelter. It means you're away from God. You need to seek God.
Get in something strong, and the Lord is a strong tower. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Batten down the hatches. Shirley back here at the back, I think. We've heard nail it, get things nailed down. Batten down the hatches, yeah.
I think we also need to protect our valuables. And I know when we have tornadoes around our house, I take the breakable things off the walls. But our children, our families, those are valuables that we need to protect, not just securing ourselves, but also those things that we hold most dear.
If you go to FEMA's site, FEMA at their website says this: go to a pre-designated shelter area, such as a safe room, basement, storm cellar, or the lowest building level. If there's no basement, go to the center of an interior room. On the lowest level, closet, interior hallway, away from corners, windows, doors, and outside walls. Put as many walls as possible between you and the outside. Get under a sturdy table and use your arms to protect your head and neck. Do not open windows. Now, that, I thought, was really excellent advice. All right, guys, go ahead and have a seat, because I'd love to have further discussion, but I'm simply down to the wall against my time here. Now, let's look at some of these terms very quickly. The term pre-designated shelter. Crisis comes for everybody. If you have not predetermined where you're going to go in a crisis and a plan, do you understand, as a Christian, we know where to turn in crisis? And I'll tell you, when you're going through a tough time, if you know ahead of time where you're going to go and what you're going to do, it said go to the center, pre-designated. Folks, I don't want to be out on the edge of God's will. I want to get right in the very center of God's will. It said get as low as possible. I want to humble myself before my God, and I want to say, God, I need you. And it said find an area of strong support. By that, it said a table or something sturdy that you could get underneath. Let me give you one more scripture, and we're done. For the hour, we're out of time. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know, in your darkest hour, when you're the lowest, if you'll go to God and call on God and let His light come into your heart and shine into your heart, you'll find that even in that hour when the storm is upon you, that you have a hiding place, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this, and I'm done. There's not anything that can ever happen to anybody that with His help, with His presence, you can't get through. If you've learned, if you decide I can handle anything, I can handle worst case scenario, whatever comes, I will be all right. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He said, without me you can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Do you know the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now I want you to know that if you look to Him, trust Him, put your faith in Him, He's a hiding place in the time of storm. If you are hurting, there's a bomb in Gilead, and whatever you're going through, I'm not going to tell you that I can ever promise you that storms won't come in your life. But I can tell you that in that dark hour when you think the sun will never shine again, that if you'll hang on and get right in the center of your storm shelter, the Lord Jesus, there'll come a day for you when the sun will shine again, and you'll say, glory to God. I've had folks say, I thought I'd never be happy again, but now I'm happy through Christ. What a Savior we have.
We're going to sing Everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait. You reign forever.
would stand with me. We're going to sing My Savior first of all. It's a wonderful hymn.
Oh, when my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when that bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I see His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eyes. How my full heart will praise Him for His mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky.
Sing it out.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.